Let's pray that prayer together at the end that I said really quickly. So it's going to come up on the screen, I hope. And we're going to say these words together. This is our main reading for this morning. Let us pray as we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. So those are the words of Jesus that he taught his disciples how to pray. But actually, we began with some examples of how not to pray. So I thought we would try and just rehearse those a little bit. There are right ways and wrong ways to pray. So what might there be the right ways to pray? And do you know something? We're going to do that thing that I haven't done for so long. I'm going to come and move among you with my roving microphone, not on a stick, but I'll try to be careful. So what are the ways that we ought to pray? What are the right ways to pray? Any thoughts? Just talk amongst yourself. You might want to ask your neighbour what would be, we can come up with maybe three right ways to pray. And the tumbleweed started coming down through the church. Let's come up with three right ways to pray. Okay, Anne's put her hand up first. And look, I'm going on holiday. I'm on holiday. And that is a sign of just how relaxed and carefree I am. Watch what is about to happen.
Honestly.
Good one. Anyone else want to offer right ways to pray? Liz.
According to God's will, because he says he'll hear us if we pray according to his will.
Okay, according to God's will. Where would you pray? Where are you supposed to? Where does Jesus say you should go and pray? Any thoughts? Anyone? Well, don't be shy today, Wendy.
In your room, in private.
In private, secretly.
Secretly.
So the guy at the beginning, that wasn't me, by the way. You didn't realise that wasn't me, that first person. That was me pretending to be somebody else. Being ostentatious, look at me, I'm praying. We're supposed to be a little bit discreet about it. Okay. I'm going to come and stand behind you.
Regularly.
How often would you recommend? Are you an expert?
At least once a day, anyway.
At least once a day, okay. Thank you. Anyone else? All right, so there's some right ways to pray. There are lots more that we could think about. What are the wrong ways to pray? We've already talked about one of them. What are the wrong ways to pray? Anyone? You could think about maybe what was read, what Phil read for us. There's some good clues in there. We'll maybe just bring up the verses again. Could you do that for us, Triona? First set of verses. So this is about the ostentatiousness. Look at me, I'm praying. You ever been in a prayer meeting where someone... You ever go to a prayer meeting, it's always the same people that say long kind of prayers and are quite ostentatious about it. Need to think about whether that's a good thing or not. Second one. And this is maybe related to that second person who was coming with all their needs, genuine needs and things that they ought to pray about and pray for. But actually, it's not simply about demanding and saying, oh God, I want this or I need this. Prayer is something more than that. Okay, so this is, we need to be careful not to just babble. The next one. And the last one is going through the motions. We sometimes do that in church, don't we? We sometimes just, the words come up on the screen, we say them, but we don't necessarily think about what they mean and what lies behind them. And we need to be careful about that because we get caught up in this. We say the right thing, but actually we don't necessarily believe it or practice it or live it out. So, how to pray and how not to pray, something that we need to think about when we come to the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to think about that a bit more in a moment. Let's spend a little bit of time reflecting on that as we come to the Lord in worship. Let's ask the Lord to help us to be people of prayer, like Kent said, people who pray regularly, who are committed to it, who want to find out more about it. That's partly why we're doing this series. So we thought about how to pray or how not to pray. But I wonder, who do we pray to? Who do you pray to? Do you pray to this person? You see who that is? This might seem a bit strange. You pray to somebody who's a bit like a traffic warden. Ever got a ticket from a traffic warden? Ever got a ticket from a traffic warden and got into a conversation with them about them giving you a ticket? They're relentless, basically. They are the law. They lay down the law. You do not argue with them. I once did it with an American in Los Angeles, and I thought they were going to call the cops on me because it was awful. Anyway, they are just unrelenting. They're doing a job, legalistic. They're paid to do that. They're paid to fine you and give you into trouble, basically. That's their job. They've only got one thing to do, and that is it. And sometimes we regard God as a bit like that, that he's just an authoritarian figure looking down on us, going, wagging his finger at us. Is that the kind of God you pray to? Do you want to say something? Sorry? What? My wife was reminding me I was in the wrong. Did you enjoy that? Are you going on holiday with me later? Because I can see us having lots of conversations. I was wrong. You're right. But it didn't make me any less furious with this person. I was in the wrong. Do you want to know what it was about, actually? You've got me going now. So I didn't realise that when you're parking, you should be parked in the direction of travel. So, and it's a law. It's the law here as well. I had never realised that. Bad me. So you should park on the side of the road that the traffic is going on. We'd parked on the wrong side. We were in another country. They park it. They don't drive on the right side, the proper side of the road, do they? So we'd done that. Woke up, ticket in the morning, but the guy was there. Anyway, that was the diversion. So, but you, who you pray to, you might be that's your vision of what God is like. It's just laying down the rules. Or how about this? God's just a bit of a puppeteer, controlling you, just kind of organizing you. Jesus didn't teach us to pray, our puppeteer in heaven, who controls us and leaves us with no free will. Or maybe like this. An old, grey-haired, white man in the clouds. This is an illustration from the cartoon series Family Guy of what God is like. And some of us, that's what we think of. That's when we think of God, we think of some old white-haired guy in the clouds. But notice how Jesus describes the person that we're praying to. He taught us to pray like this. He said, we are to call God our Father. And that's because we have a heavenly Father who loves each one of us, indeed loves everybody who has ever been born, so much that he made it possible for us to be his children. We are his children, he is our Father. And so often the church has failed to give that sort of loving picture. We know that dads sometimes get it wrong, that dads are not always perfect. But if you think for a moment about God our Father, what's he like? What sort of father is God like? Is he loving or critical? Is he demanding or accepting? Is he trying to take all the fun out of life? Or is he good to be around? The Bible shows us that God, the Father, loves us, accepts us, treasures us, delights in us, and wants to not only be involved in our lives, but he wants us to be involved in his. He wants us to walk with him, to know his presence, to be transformed and to be changed by him. It's a powerful, powerful realization when we come to that point of realizing that we are loved. Some of us have never been loved. We've never felt love before. But as we come to God, the Father, he pours out his love on us. And as we look at the Bible from beginning to end, it's a story, it's a love story of God the Father's love for people, his people. And so because we are loved, we are able to come and pray to him, to talk to him. If you love someone, you're able to have a conversation with them. That's what prayer is about. So we talk to God our Father. We're going to do that now, and Mark is going to come and lead us in our prayers. Mark, for leading us to the Lord in prayer. We've thought a little bit about how not to pray. We've thought a little bit about who do we pray to, God our Father. What an immense privilege that is. And the third thing that we might pick up on this morning is, it's maybe something to do with how do we deal with God, or how do we handle God. More of that in a minute. But if you were handling something, what kind of things do we handle with care? Are there things around you that you're very careful about how you approach them or how you deal with them? Anybody want to volunteer a few things that we might handle with care? What would you be careful with? Anyone got a pet? I know some of you have got pets. Anyone? Anyone ever had a hamster? No? Nobody's got any pets? No? Anybody got any pets? No? No? Hello? Should we talk dogs? We'll talk dogs. Dogs, we would handle our dogs carefully. We look after them and we're careful with them. What else would we handle with care?
Cats.
Cats. So we've got a bid for dogs and a bid for... We've got to include the cats. Cats don't actually need us, of course, do they? I met a cat last week. I was sitting outside. I was with one of my daughters sitting outside round the back of her flat in the garden. And this cat came along. And all it wanted to do was shed hair on me. Cats. Yeah, we care, but I suppose we've got to care for them. Yeah, all right, I'll give you that. What else do we need to care for? Hello?
Camera, you need to be careful with it. Absolutely.
I'm going to put you on microphone if that's all right. Are you happy speaking into microphone? Okay.
Eggs.
I missed that.
Eggs.
Eggs. You know, I was going to bring an egg, and I was going to have that in front of me, and I was going to throw it at somebody. And I'm kind of glad I didn't do that, because if you said it, I would have brought one out of my pocket. So, yeah, eggs is good. Yeah, you're right. We need to be very, very careful, unless they're hard-boiled. They're already cooked. What else? What else do we need to be careful about? Babies. Yeah, you don't really throw them around too much, do you? You try to be a little bit careful with them. There's lots of things that we're careful about. I wonder how careful we are with the Lord. Could we just bring up the slide that has the Lord's Prayer on it again, please? I wonder how careful we are with the Lord. You see, the first line that we're thinking about today is, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." There's a church, I think my memory says it's St. Michael the Belfry. And the story I remember about the Lord's Prayer is that on the wall of this church, it's written, the Lord's Prayer's written, and they didn't have enough space, and he just ended up with, "Our Father in heaven, hello." They'd missed out, and they put the WED on the next line. And I was trying to find out if that actually existed or whether it was just a story. And that's okay. That's how, as God our Father, we're allowed to come into his presence and speak to him like that. But we're supposed to be aware of his holiness. We began with holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He is our Father, but he's also the creator of the universe. How amazing that the creator of the universe, who made everything that is, we get to call Father. But how much do we honor him? How carefully do we honor his holy name?
You know, the Jewish people were very careful, and still are very careful, about the name of God, about writing it down or not writing it down, because it was such a precious and holy thing. We are perhaps a little less careful about that. We might worry about swearing. I don't know if any of you swear very much. I'm walking on difficult ground here. But, you know, most of us will let out sweary words at times. And a lot of the concern about swearing is cultural. It's about the culture that we're in. You know, we had an incident in our house where I got a bit cross with a bit of the technology in the house. And the technology is called Alexa. Who's got Alexa in the house? Okay, so if you get a bit annoyed with Alexa and you say something rude to her, Alexa will turn around and say something like, "I won't respond to that." Which, when she said it, made us laugh our heads off, because we thought, what else can we try saying to Alexa? We could be, you know, we use language, don't we, when we're cross and we're angry. And we're all like that. I know an old lady who says this. She's got a bit of a spicy way of using language, let's put it like that. She's quite good at swearing, in other words. I'm not encouraging to swear. Don't swear. It's a bad thing generally. Don't develop it as a habit. If you do it, try and stop doing it. It's generally a bad thing. But she says this. She says, "I might swear," but she always says this, I might swear, but I never, ever take the Lord's name in vain." And what she means, she's thinking about the Bible, where it said, "Do not take the Lord your God's name in vain." And she's trying to honor or hallow the name of God. Now, how does that work in our culture? One of the things that you will hear people say all the time, even followers of Jesus, they will do this. They will use a phrase. They will shorten the phrase. And what is the phrase? Don't say it. We'll not do it as a liturgical chant or anything. The thing they say, and you hear it all the time, you hear it even in church circles, and it should be, I'm going to be legalistic here, I'm becoming the traffic warden. We should be very careful about using it, because we are calling upon the name of God. When we say, "Oh my God!" And you hear people say that, don't you? Or they shorten it now to OMG. You get a text and it says OMG. And actually, I wonder how much that hallows the name of God. That words like that shouldn't really be appearing from the mouths and the hearts of those who follow Jesus. It's not just about how we use language, though. It's everything we do. We want everything we do as a church, everything we do as followers of Jesus, to honor his name, to hallow his name, to point to his name, to point to his person. So as we draw towards the end of our time together, I want to encourage us to be handling with care the very name of God. That our desire, our hope, our plan, our vision will be that God's name will be honored here amongst his people, but also wherever we find ourselves this week. That somehow we will honor his name by serving others. We'll honor his name by telling others a little bit about Jesus. You know, every conversation we have can be spiced with the name of Jesus, can be something that we're just trying to make his name honored and known, and actually not just honored, but even in our time, in our culture, having his name known as something more than just a swear word or a swear name. So this week, let's end our time by another time of confession, just taking a moment and saying to the Lord, "Lord, maybe I have not honored your name in the way that I've spoken. Maybe I've said the wrong thing in the wrong way and at the wrong time. Help me to honor your name. Help me not to use your name in a way that you don't want me to be using it." So let's bow our heads. We're going to pray together and seek the Lord's forgiveness. And so, Father, this morning we have learned how not to pray. Help us to pray in the ways that you want us to do that quietly and sincerely with honesty. And help us, Lord, to pray to you as Father. We are just amazed again that we can come to you as a loving Father. Whatever
our experience of the Father, our earthly fathers, has been. You always love us, you always care for us, you always welcome us, you're always there waiting for us to speak to you. And so help us to do that today. And then we ask, Lord, that you would help us to honor your name, to hallow your name, that we would recognize, as your people have down through history, that your name is holy and it's not to be abused or to trip off our tongue lightly. Help us to be careful in what we say and how we say it. And may we honor you with our lips and with our lives. And may this church do that as well. May your name be hallowed when your people gather here. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.